forever.
Amen.
Our first reading for today is from the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 2nd verse. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be transcended for burning and be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let us pause for a moment of silence meditation.
The second reading is from the prophet Micah. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she is in labor, gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace.
Third reading is in the book of Luke, the 1st chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Let us pause for a moment of reflection.
The fourth reading is from Luke, beginning with the second chapter. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
The fifth reading is from the book of Luke, once again, the second chapter. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let us pause for a moment of reflection.
The sixth reading is from Luke, the second chapter. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.
The seventh reading is found in the book of Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of all my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. Let us pause for a moment of reflection.
The eighth reading is from Matthew, the second chapter. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more."
Our ninth reading for this morning is found in the book of John, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was in the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Merry Christmas. That's still appropriate, right? Katie, how many Christmas gifts did you get today from your mom and dad?
Today.
Just today?
No.
None? Are there any when you get home? Well, you better talk to them about that. Okay? Did you get any Christmas gifts this morning?
None this morning.
None this morning? I thought she was sitting beside you. Huh? Why don't we give gifts today? Why aren't there gifts? What is today? Come on. It's the fourth day of Christmas. Christmas is not one day of the year. How many days is it? 12. We celebrate 12 days of Christmas, not one. 12. How many are left then? 8, thank you. And if we look at the calendar, the 8th day, 8 more days from now, will be January 6th. January 6th is the last day of Christmas. AJ, did you get any gifts from your mom and dad today? No? Discuss that with them later, okay? But that means you get less on Christmas Day. Okay, I'm sure, right, Mom? Yeah, okay. Now, on January 6th, the last day of Christmas, our 12th day, until that day, the pyramids will remain gold. So those of you that attend morning prayer, as some of you I know do diligently every morning, and for evening prayer, you will still see gold pyramids. But on January 6th, if you come to morning prayer, the pyramids are gold. If you come to evening prayer, the pyramids are now white. Because at sunset, on the 12th day of Christmas, it is no longer Christmas. It is now Epiphany season. And we celebrate with white pyramids. A new time has arrived. But what happened on Epiphany Day? Think back to the reading of Luke, the first one, the seventh reading for today. Who arrives to see Jesus? The Magi, the wise men. And they arrive the evening of the 12th day of his birth. That's when they have come and give their gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. Epiphany is the day of reflection and the day of revelation that God has deemed to prove to all that Christ is his Son. For those of you that heard me speak a few weeks ago, I told you about a little man who lived in the same town where I grew up by the name of Russell. For those of you that didn't, I'll give you a quick synopsis. Russell was a small man, small in stature, large in wisdom. Russell was a carpenter, quick of wit, but great in wonderment
and great in philosophy. Russell, I got to tell you this so you get an idea about Russell. When I was small and riding the school bus from the farm and would come home, and one day Russell is at our house. I see him outside, and Russell is doing some work, and Russell is using screws and a hammer. And he's putting these things together, and he's holding up the screws and pounding them in. Well, the small size I was, I go up to Russell as I get up there, and I'm watching him, and I go, "Russell, that's not the way you put them in." And he reaches into his tool pouch, and he pulls out a screw, and he shows it to me and says, "Do you see," in his Norwegian brogue, "do you see them things there?" And I went, "Yes." And Russell says, "El, them's for taking out, them's not for putting in." That was Russell. But Russell wore a long sleeve shirt every day, regardless of the weather. And in South Dakota, in the middle of July and August, it can get very, very hot. But one day while he was working at our farm, I happened to notice as he was washing up, Russell had a tattoo. Ooh. Now, I had never seen a tattoo or knew what a tattoo was really at that time. And I asked Russell, "What is that thing on your arm?" And Russell said in his profound way, "That's so I don't forget who I am." It was much later in years that I found out really what it was that he meant. That was not an ordinary tattoo on the inside of his left arm. That was a tattoo of numbers. Because Russell had been a survivor of the concentration camps in Norway. But his belief was that those let him know every day who he was. And his first belief, his first thought every day was of his Lord. Because he said, "Dear old Russell, if it would not have been for my prayers, I would not have been spared." He knew who he was. He knew where he came from. And what about us today? Do we know who we are? Do we know where we come from? And what do we do every day to remind ourselves of that? Charles Dickens, the author, wrote that Christmas time for him was the time of renewal of his spirit. That he spent time the entire 12 days of Christmas in order to see him through the entire rest of the year living Christmas. Christmas is not one day. Christmas is not 12 days. Christmas in our hearts should be all year. Do we forget that? Let us hope not. That we continue to think about Christmas. Even when QVC has their Christmas in July specials on the shopping network, that we remember the trueness, the meaning of Christmas, whether it be July or August or September or whenever. Amen. Let us continue with hymn number 42.